Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. On today's show, I decided to air this encore segment of The Organic View because of the great interest in my interview without attribution. I hope this will give those of you who are sincerely interested in this situation the opportunity to hear the original interview with Terry Ingram. And now, here's the show. Today my guest is Terrence Ingram, and he's going to be talking about a recent situation that has been getting a lot of attention, especially throughout social media. Terry Ingram is a well-educated farmer who holds degrees in physics and math with minors in history, biology, and education. He has been farming for over 50 years and has been a beekeeper, an apiary instructor, and bee researcher for over 56 years. He was also a columnist with the prestigious American Bee Journal, and he has been working to raise awareness about the devastating impact of agrochemicals on bees, as well as other beings, such as the bald eagle. He has been monitoring the impact and decline for many, many years. Now, Mr. Ingram believes his bees were recently confiscated by the Illinois Department of Agriculture because he was developing a glyphosate-resistant bee. This confiscation destroys years of his research. Now, on today's show, Mr. Ingram is going to talk about his situation and also about his research, and is also going to address some of the things that have been circulating around about what exactly happened. So I would like to welcome to the show Mr. Terrence Ingram. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Now, Mr. Ingram, can you tell our audience about yourself and also about the work that you've done with eagles?
Well, I've got my bachelor's degree, and then I taught at the University of Platteville for 4 years. I taught it in high school for 6 years. I taught in junior college for 10 years. When I was teaching at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, I was doing research on red-tailed hawks every weekend, and that's when I first discovered eagles in the area. And we discovered that we had the greatest number of eagles that had been reported in one day on a Christmas bird count any place in the nation back in 63. The National Audubon Society didn't want to accept that number because they had never had 155 birds in one spot before any place in the 60-some years they had run the Christmas counts. But we were able to document that we had them, and their researcher, Frank Uegas, came up and joined me and my research then, and he came for a couple weeks each year for the next couple of years to help out. And since then, I started the Eagle Nature. I started the Southwest Wisconsin Audubon Society. When we started Set Land Aside, we changed that to the Eagle Valley Environmentalist, and then that name was changed to the Eagle Foundation. And in 95, we started the Eagle Nature Foundation. So that's, I'm still working on eagles, and I still give bus tours every winter for people to see eagles. My bee work started when I was raised on a farm, dairy farm, and I caught my first swarm back in probably July of 54. And I've been keeping bees most of the time since then. I did have a stint when I did not have bees because I became allergic to the bee sting. But when I was directing a nature camp up in Canada in 76, I was bitten by a Massasauga rattlesnake, and a doctor told me soon after that that I was probably not allergic to the bee sting anymore because the Massasauga would counteract the bee sting allergy. So I went back into beekeeping. At one time, my wife and I had 250 hives, and we produced 6-8 tons of honey a year. I think our best year is about 12 tons.
Wow, that is some story.
We had those 250 hives were all wiped out in 1 year when Roundup started to be used. We were up in Canada when I was directing the camp again. I did it every summer for about 20 years. I was up in Canada for a week, and four or 10 days. Before we left, we had supers on the hives ready for them to bring in honey while we were gone. When I came back, there were hardly any bees flying. I couldn't figure out what was wrong. Went into the hives, and the hives seemed all right, but they just didn't have any field force. The queens were there, they're laying eggs, raising brood, but they didn't have enough adult bees to keep the brood warm. And found out that they had sprayed Roundup while I was gone. And every 3 weeks that summer, the airplanes came over spraying Roundup in the fields around here. One commercial farmer, and I complained about it. And he said, oh, he was not killing my bees. He was using Roundup, and that wouldn't affect bees. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but it does affect bees. I found out since then it's been killing them every year. I try to get started. I get new packages, and most of them are killed before the end of the summer. Even though they can be strong enough to produce as much as 350 pounds of honey, of comb honey, in one summer from one hive, and yet that hive will die before winter because they don't have the Roundup as kill them.
Thank you. Now, can you please talk about the beginning of your research, when you began the research, and what were some of the things that you discovered along the way?
Well, discovered that I started research after I lost all my beehives, and I'm trying to find out for sure why. And I've been trying to document that it has been Roundup, and several times since then, there have been sprays, and I can be watching the bees and checking them once every week to see what the populations are, and just all of a sudden they'll crash, and right after a spray, right after airplanes are flying over, the next day or two, the populations just die off. And if they die off enough, there may not be enough bees left in the hive to keep the brood, the young bees, warm, and so they die because they get chilled. And then my hives have chilled brood, dead brood, in the combs, and some inspectors that don't know what they're looking at call that a foul brood. And there's quite a difference between chilled brood and foul brood, but they don't know the difference.
In regards to the spraying, were you given any prior warning that the spraying would occur?
Not at first. Finally, they are letting me know a little bit. I had a call a week or so ago that they're going to spray again, and he said they'd be spraying that night and the next day. I said, try to do it before 7 or after 7 at night, and they said they would, but they were doing it for 5 days straight, and then there are other sprayers going to other fields around here that didn't call me, didn't notify me, and so... Last year I had a call from this corporate farmer. He let me know that the airplane's going to be flying tomorrow morning. Well, he is. Tomorrow morning, but how about the morning after, the day after, the day after, the day after, the day after? After 8 days, he gets a little sick of it. And it keeps killing the bees every time they come out there.
Can you explain to our audience exactly what you do when you find out that there's going to be aerial spraying in your area?
Well, there's not much you can do. I've had one time he had my bees were close to a soybean field, and he called me and said he's going to need to spray. I said, can you do it before 7 or after 7? He said, no problem. And so at 5:30 in the morning, the airplane is down there flying. I had closed up half the hives as an experiment to see how they would do. So I closed half of them up so they couldn't fly, and the other half I let them fly, just to see what would happen. And the half that could fly did not get affected as badly as the other half. But neither one of them were affected very badly because they sprayed before 7 in the morning, before the bees were flying. By the time the bees fly, the air is clear again.
In regards to the recent situation, can you just explain exactly when did you find out that the Department of Agriculture had been looking at your bees and performing inspections?
Well, I got a notice back in late November that they had an inspector had been out here on Sunday, on the 23rd of October, to inspect my bees when I was not here, and had sent samples in to Maryland, so they claim, and those samples detected foul brood. That means they detected the spores of foul brood. Didn't say that the hives were infected. In fact, at the hearing that we had about this, she never once showed us or proved that one single young bee was sick in the cell because of foul brood. Not one. And yet they claim that the hives have foul brood. I've had foul brood in the past. Foul brood is a very explosive disease. If the bees don't cover it up and take care of it, it can expand and the hive becomes infected. But normally, most hives anymore, the foul brood disease has been around a long time. Bees have developed their own resistance to it, and they will cover it up as much as possible so that in their hive, it never gets a foothold. It never takes over the hive. And it used to be that when foul brood first came out, yes, bees weren't used to it, and they were affected by it, but not in the last while. I haven't had a hive that came down with foul brood for probably 20 years. The spores may be in the comb, the old combs, but it doesn't say that it's infected the hives. And this is the problem that we're having an argument with them saying the hives are infected. I'm saying, no, they're not. The combs may contain spores. As long as you don't disturb them, the hive doesn't come down with it. But when you cut a sample, the only way that the inspectors know how to inspect anymore, they aren't trained, they don't know anything about it. All they can do is go into a hive, cut out a piece of comb and send it in and see if they can detect foul brood. That doesn't say that the hive has foul brood. It may have the spores someplace in the hive, but the spores are covered up by the bees. The bees produce their own protection against this. They're their own doctors. They've lived on this planet longer than man has. They don't need any chemicals. They can find their own chemicals, just like the Indians could for their diseases. But the bees can find their own chemicals and protect their own hive.
I'm sorry, I just want to take a step back. Typically, how often had you been inspected prior on an annual basis?
Oh, I haven't been inspected for probably 5 years that I know of. I don't know. Now that they've theoretically have inspected my hives 4 out of 5 times when I wasn't here. The fifth time that I was here, the inspector was here when the temperature was 3 degrees with 6 inches of snow. And nobody should be looking at anybody's hives, disturbing anybody's hives at that kind of temperature.
Could you explain to our audience that is not familiar with beekeeping exactly why this is problematic?
Well, it'll kill the bees. In the wintertime, the bees have to stay warm. They cannot survive. A single bee cannot survive by himself. But he gets into a cluster, they crowd together, and they produce heat, and they stay warm throughout the winter. No matter if it's 30, 40 below, they can crowd together and stay warm inside that cluster as long as they get some food. Some bees will not use much food and survive the winter without using much food. All they do is keep warm. Some other bees don't know enough to stay in their cluster and not do anything, so they start raising brood or keep raising brood all winter, and that kind of bee can actually starve in the hive, and the cluster can be a half an inch from honey, and the cluster can't move over to it because they can't leave the brood that they're raising. They have to keep the brood warm, and in process, the whole cluster dies by starvation. But that can happen in the wintertime. Carniolans are the best. Caucasians are good. Both of them came out of the Caucasus of the Carniolan Mountains in Eastern Europe, and they know how to survive cold weather. They've adapted over the years to surviving in the cold weather. And so they just close down all their actions. They move slow. They don't do much, and they know that from they actually stop raising brood when the sun passes the equator, going south. So when it gets cool in the fall, they close down their egg gland, and they don't start up again until the sun passes the equator coming north when it starts to get warm. They're not stupid animals. They know what to do and know what, they know how to survive. And that's
now,
what I've got.
Now, in regards to the inspection, is it so? I just want to clarify this, especially for the folks that are listening to this interview that are not familiar with beekeeping practices. So, typically speaking, when an inspection is performed, do the inspections occur normally during the winter or cold weather season?
Well, are you looking? If you're looking for foul brood, you're looking for sick young bees. The time to look for sick young bees is when you have young bees that are in the hive. You don't go into the hive after the bees are all adults and try to look for sick young bees. That is really stupid. But that's the only way they've been trained to inspect now. They don't look for sick young bees. They look for just to cut a sample of comb out and ruin the frame. There might be 10 frames in a hive, but they'll ruin one of them and send in their sample to a lab to see if they can detect foul brood. Doesn't say the hive is infected with foul brood, just they can detect foul brood.
Just out of curiosity, do they typically do these inspections? I mean, is this normal for what the inspectors do? Especially during the cold winter months?
I've never in my life had an inspection in the wintertime. And yet this inspector that inspected my bees said, oh, you can inspect for foul brood any time of year. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't even understand the disease or what she's supposed to be looking for. All she knows is cutting a sample out of a frame and sending it to a lab.
Now, Terry, were any of the other beekeepers that you know in the area inspected during this particular time of the year as well?
None that I know of. I'm the only one. None of them have told me.
I tried to
find out who might have been inspected, who she might have determined had foul brood, and she says, oh, that's private information. Well, if that's private information, how come my stuff isn't private? They sure let the world know that I've got foul brood.
How did the information actually get out?
Don't know. Because I never put anything out to the world until they took my bees.
Can you talk about that actual time? What exactly happened? Were you at home? Did you receive any type of a notification or indication that your bees were going to be taken? Can you just talk about that?
Well, I had a letter from Steve Sherrard back in January stating that my bees detected foul brood and I should burn my hives and I should burn my equipment and everything. And said that because it is such a bad disease that they do have the right to come in and do it for me. Well, that was in January. I sent a letter back and said, I'm sorry, but your inspectors don't know what they're looking at, and I have protected my hives for the last 55 years, and I will continue to monitor my own hives, and I will abate my own disease if I have it, whenever I have it, which I've done over the years. And I told him that in that letter that any entrance of anybody from his group, his department, would be considered a criminal trespass. And when my wife and I were gone to Texas, our granddaughter got married in March, and we were down in Texas on our way back. We had a phone call from one of our neighbors saying that somebody was in here taking our bees, taking our equipment.
Exactly. How many of the hives were confiscated, and what was left behind, if anything?
They took 11 hives. They left 3, 2 of them with bees, without queens, the queens are all destroyed, and but they did take 11 hives. They're hives that I had set up, ready to go, ready for the spring to make splits and to put packages in. I was all ready before I left for Texas. I had these hives cleaned up and ready to go. So they took all my queen equipment that I was going to put my packages and splits in this spring and took those. What they did with them, I'm not sure. Rumors are that they destroyed it, but they've never told me. The only thing they've told me about this, about taking the bees, I asked the inspector if she had taken them, and that question couldn't be asked at the hearing we were at.
Why couldn't that question be asked at the hearing? If your bees are missing, it would only make sense that you would ask where they are. I mean, bees, especially the hives, what's the monetary value of the hives?
About $5,000.
And you're not allowed to ask what happened to your hives?
The hearing was whether or not I had violated the law by having American foul brood in my hives and not abating it. That was all the hearing was. Could not address any other questions. But when I had her boss on the cross-examining him, I asked him if he had authorized it, and he said yes before the attorney could object. That's all I've heard. That's all I've heard from them, any of them, about the event. Nothing since.
Did you receive any laboratory proof, any test results or anything to show you their findings?
Well, I had. They sent me a copy of the lab report saying that foul brood had been detected in some of my hives. Not all of them, some of them. But they were identified by numbers. I number my hives every summer. I do this with my beginning beekeeping class and see how to keep records and how to number, how to record what their bees are doing. And that's part of my training for the beginning beekeepers is to number their hives and learn how to keep what records they need, what information they need. And the weather was warm, and so I had my hives ready for winter. I thought, well, it's so warm now, I'll get them painted before next spring, because we never know when we're going to get warm weather in the spring enough to paint. So I had painted all my equipment with a nice fresh coat of white paint. And she testified, the inspector testified in the hearing, that she could read the numbers through the white paint. Well, I've got the three hives that are left here, and I've got other hives that I had moved out and replaced. I've had people look at them, and not one person can see a number through that paint. But any of the other numbers that were, she destroyed, or somebody destroyed, or taken, I don't know what they've done with them. To this day.
Will they tell you what transpired, or are you still trying to find that out?
Well, we'll get our day in court yet. I've got a decision from the hearing that the hearing officer feels that I am violating the rules and the law, and I sent a petition for reconsideration back to the Department of Ag, and had to be there by the 27th, which was Saturday, and I mailed the things in on Thursday. So whether or not they got them by, nobody was there to sign for them until the 29th. So they might try to say that they didn't get them on time, but they were put in certified mail before the 27th.
Terry, you've never been inspected prior to the first inspection last fall.
No, I'd been inspected. I was inspected years ago by inspectors that were trained. They had to pass the test of knowledge how to do it. And our present inspectors do not pass any test. They're just a political appointee. In fact, in my hearing, I was able to prove that neither the inspector nor her boss has any requirement for the job to know anything about bees or anything about bee diseases. That's not a requirement of the job.
Well, I just want to recap this. So the last time prior to this whole incident was how many years ago since the last inspection?
Oh, 5 or 6 or 7.
So that's quite a while. Why do you think now, of all times, you're being inspected? I mean, is this typical? Do they just every couple of years they send somebody out, or you know, do they do this with other beekeepers in the area? Do you think that there's any particular reason why all of a sudden, after so many years of not being inspected, they decided to do this?
I don't know. A couple of inspectors ago had didn't know anything about bees, didn't look into a hive, and did absolutely nothing. The state appointed them in order to have the RMD position filled so that the money wouldn't be canceled in the next year. And the state of Illinois is in such great financial shape the way it is. But they're critical appointees to fill these positions.
Let's talk about the actual confiscation. So the hives were taken. Were there any documents or any of your research? Was that taken from you as well?
No, they just killed all my queens. And my queens were the result. It took me 15 years to find bees that were semi-resistant to Roundup. And we developed some queens here that one queen had survived three summers of sprays. And that's multiple spraying each summer. And survived three winters. In fact, she'd survived this winter by using only 7 pounds of honey, of food. But they took that hive and destroyed it.
In regards to your research, how are you going to move forward so that you can continue the work that you've been doing for so many years?
Well, I bought some more packages and got new queens, and I've got 9 hives working in the yard again, and still watching for evidence of sprays, which I had last week when the sprayers came out for almost a whole week in a row. My hives never increased their population, which with honeybees, they increase. The queen lays about 3,000 eggs a day, 3 to 4, when she's laying good. And so if you get 5, 6, 7 days of egg laying, you've got 15,000, 20,000 eggs weight, 3,000 a day times 5 days, 15,000. And so your population in a hive, in a regular, normal hive that has plenty of room to lay, that queen can expand to a 60,000, to 80,000, 120,000 bees in a hive if they don't get sprayed. And 120,000 bees in a hive will bring in honey. No problem.
Thank you. Now, one last question. What is your next step as far as to try to find some type of a conclusion with what has transpired with the Department of Agriculture in the state of Illinois?
Well, right now we have to wait and see if they'll accept this petition for reconsideration and what their decision is on that. They've got about 30 days to render a decision whether they will reconsider. And then the next step after that is to, whatever their decision, if they go against me, is to take them to circuit court. And then when I go to circuit court, I'm going to have a different decision, as far as I know, because I'm going to have somebody that looks at the, hopefully, the facts. I may have to, the hearing officer said at the hearing when I questioned about the hives, she said, you have to take that in the civil court. So I may go to circuit court, may go to civil court, I don't know. They have to, right now the ball's in their park, and they got to decide what they're going to do with that reconsideration.
Thank you. And just lastly, is there anything that you would like to share with our audience, especially for beekeepers that are out there that have found out about what's happened with your bees and are very concerned for you?
Well, I don't have any advice other than that we got to try to change our rules. In no way should an inspector be able to come into your property and disturb your bees in the wintertime. There's no way that an inspector should come on your property and inspect your bees when you're not there. Because I have no idea how she handled the bees, what she did. And I have unique ways of getting my bees through the winter. and have somebody come in and disturb those hives after they've been set up for winter. It just really burns me. That can happen. We just got to change the rules in Illinois. Some states have dropped their inspection service entirely because of this kind of thing happening. And Illinois, they're so much in trouble financially, they ought to drop the program too because it's not being effective. That's my suggestion. But I'm working hard as I can to try to get things changed.
Thank you, Terry. And thank you so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to explain, especially to fellow beekeepers that have been very concerned about what happened, so that you can communicate with everybody and let them know exactly what happened.
Well, I did not lose any of my papers. They did not come in the house. You know, they just went to my yard. They did not go in, as far as I know, did not go into my bee house, did not go into any building. They just took the bees from the backyard.
Terry, I hope that things work out in your favor with the upcoming events, and thank you again for coming on the show today.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic Bee Radio Show. Have a good day, folks.